Hey, Jay, I got something to host. Where do I host it?
Why, on HostGator, of course. They offer 99.9% uptime and have 24/7, 365 customer support.
Wow, if only I can kick back some of that money to my favorite gaming podcast, Blood and Barrel.
Not only can you do that, but you can save yourself some money in the process.
Tell me how.
Use the checkout code EBPODCAST9 and save 25% off your first order.
Wow, and I still hate you.
Go ahead. Do you have your list?
I got my list.
Okay.
I hope Santa gives me everything I want.
I meant your list for the second segment.
I hope that Santa Claus gives me a wood. Can I, you know, like, and like those things where, like, they show Santa Claus making toys.
Yeah.
He's always making, like, fucking, like, wooden horses or something. When I was a little kid, I'd always watch that and be like, why is he making so many wooden horses? Who the hell wants a wooden horse? I always felt bad. Like, why do I get video games and shit? Like, all these other kids are apparently getting wooden horses. I'm like, just like, he's making like wooden horses and dollies, and I'm like, Christ, Santa. Give it the times. Nobody wants that shit anymore. I'm like, where does he? I think I actually asked my mom this one time. I'm like, Mom, this I don't get it. How does Santa make me video games? Like, oh no, Santa just buys those. I'm like, oh,
just sends the elves shopping.
No, I thought no. She made it very clear that he personally goes to like Toys R Us. And I had this picture in my head for a very long, like, Santa Claus goes to Toys R Us the night before Christmas. And it's like, all right, let's see, Mike Minotti wants Sonic the Hedgehog 2. Genesis. All right, I have one of those. Next.
Because remember Toys R Us, you had, like, that back room. Yeah. It's like, say, you can see Santa coming up with, like, just this, like, mountain of those tickets. Like, I need these. Like,
literally in my head, Santa Claus would go to Toys R Us before coming to my house. Oh, this has been a long intro. Let's go. And welcome to the Exploding Barrel Podcast for November 28th, 2012. This is Mike Minotti. I am joined by my brother. What are you laughing at?
I'll never get tired of watching you struggle through the date, particularly when you hesitate on the year.
Yeah, that was a little bad. So, hi, Jay.
Hello.
So, we got a show today to do.
A lot of games.
Are there?
I got a lot. I got.
I guess so, but you didn't even play the one yet.
Which? Yeah, the one I haven't even played yet.
We're so cryptic. Okay, so we're going to start
it's
with...
XCOM.
Yeah. No, the secrets! You fool! Why? Okay, so we're going to talk about video games. So we're going to start about the news first.
Yeah.
Doesn't look like a huge news list.
No, it's stuff.
But then we're going to do... we got a new segment. It's called the Totally Rad Show Memorial Ripoff Segment, also known as Versus.
Yes.
So if you ever watch Totally Rad Show, it just ended its run. It's like, you know, they had, there's a website called Flickster where they...
Flickchart.
Flickchart, my dad. Yeah. Flickster was like that weird thing that Netflix tried to do.
Yeah. No, that was Quickster. I think Flickster is a thing. But anyway.
Okay. But it's like it would randomly pull two movies and you had to say which one you like better. So what me and AJ did is we just each came up with our own list of 10 games. And we'll like...
No, put more than that.
20, that's right. And we'll like kind of pit them against each other to make a versus. And we'll decide.
Although I have it from the Flickchart Twitter account that they are working on a video game version, so
that'd be cool.
Maybe someday we'll be able to use that. It'll be a lot easier for us to manage.
So we'll do. We'll be doing that in a second segment. Then we'll talk about our week in gaming. We're gonna talk about the Assassin's Creed 3 ending. Do we have to do it at the end of the show?
Yeah, we'll do a post show thing.
I mean, I'll say right now, like I heard, like, oh, the ending ruins it, like. Yeah,
it didn't ruin it. It just doesn't answer everything. It's like the ending of
Lost. Assassin's Creed.
Yeah, I know. I know. Like, what were people expecting? But
it's exactly like the ending to every other Assassin's Creed game ever.
Yeah,
I don't know what.
Did they promise an end? Yeah, because
I don't remember that.
I think people thought there'd be more of a conclusion because it's supposed to be the wrap up to Desmond's story, but it's really not.
It kind of wraps things up. I mean, well,
sort of.
Whatever.
We'll talk about it.
It matters how much you really care about the Desmond story, yeah. Maybe I just don't. Like, that's, like, the stuff to, like, justify having a series where you can have a game set in different places. Like, that's never been my favorite part of the game. Like, it's sort of pessimistic, like, constant warring factions and, like, these weirdo early god things. That's never been my favorite part. It's, like,
whole,
like, weird anti-religion sentiments. Like, oh, institutions are bad. Now assassins and Templar murder each other forever. While you try to decide what institution is worse. It always drives me crazy. All right, so But religion, that's the problem. So we'll talk about games, and then it probably made so many of our fans just cringe right now. I always feel like there's kind of a growing atheist sentiment amongst a lot of gamers. Do you kind of feel like that?
I guess.
I mean, I don't think we ever go out there and scream, like, yeah, we're Christian gamers. Like, that's always obnoxious, too, and it's like, that's, like, your main thing. It's like, yeah, I'm a Christian gamer. Like, yeah, praise Christ.
Like, that's my clan tag.
Yeah, Christ, when you group with Jesus, what was that? Wasn't that a Penny Arcade?
Something
like that, yeah. It is, like, an awkward thing now a lot of times. Like, on Twitter, people are just saying, like, bad things about religion. I just kind of, like, sit there, like, yeah. That's,
why are we talking about this?
Why not?
I don't know.
I thought I need to be talked about. Don't you want to?
No. Okay.
What? See, it makes you uncomfortable.
You just talked about how you find it weird when people start talking about it is all.
Nuh-uh.
Oh, okay. I just heard
I didn't say that. You were twisting my words. Well, I thought we were going to have a conversation about it, but you immediately just threw it down.
I'm sorry. What do you want to talk about?
No, I don't want to talk about it with you anymore. You clearly have nothing, because that's what you do. That's how you manage it. You don't even want anyone to know. You don't even talk about it. You're ashamed of Christ. You're a denier. Yeah. Christ. Wow. You see what I just did there?
What was that?
That wasn't ironic at all,
by
the way.
Second commandment?
Yeah, you know. I'm not perfect. So, what the hell?
News?
No, we already talked about we were going
to
do news.
No, I'm not saying you want me to do the news.
No, like, there's several things. Oh, yeah, talk about our games, you heathens. And then we'll, Then we'll talk about the release dates for video games.
Why is that so funny?
All right.
Okay. Okay. Let's rate it in.
Yeah. Let's go.
Apparently, something called Yoshi's Land might be coming to the Wii U someday.
Do we know anything about it except that it's called? It might be called Yoshi's Land.
Well, Best Buy Canada's website had it listed for December 31st, 2013, which is clearly a placeholder. But it had, like, the synopsis, like, go on a magical journey with Yoshi. That's pretty much all it said.
I mean,
in high definition.
Here's my feelings about this. So, what do you assume? So, we assume that this is, what, a 2D Yoshi game? Do we assume that?
Probably.
It would be nice if it was a 3D one. Wouldn't it?
I think so.
Like, that'd be pretty cool, actually. Like imagine if you try to reimagine Yoshi's Island, but as a 3D game. Because we've reimagined Mario as one, but Yoshi's Island's very different.
Yeah.
I think that could be really cool.
How would you do that with a gamepad?
Like, what do you mean exactly?
Like, what's the gamepad hook into a 3D Yoshi game?
I mean, oh, gosh.
Obviously, we have no idea of knowing, but what would you think would be cool?
You could make the gamepad his stomach, and, like, all the different things he's eaten is, like, stored in there. You can do weird things with them.
That could be.
That could be kind of funny.
There you go.
Like, literally his stomach in there.
Yeah. Okay.
See?
I'll buy it.
There you go. 5 seconds.
Good job, Mike. Yeah. You should be a game designer.
Seriously, that'd be cool. But, like, I kind of hope it's not just another
2D
Yoshi's game. Because, well, a couple
like, new Yoshi's Island or something.
Yeah, well, you basically tried that already. They made Yoshi's Island DS. No one liked it.
Yeah.
They even tried it again with, they tried it before, they moved Yoshi's Story. Yoshi's Island, the first one, is kind of perfect.
Yeah,
but you're not going to do a better job than that.
Yeah.
Really. So I don't know. I don't really, like, I don't want them to just be like, here's this. It's kind of weird how, like, all of a sudden Nintendo likes 2D platformers a lot again.
Because they're quick and easy to make,
I mean,
they
love them.
They make them fast and
like, think
quickly.
About it. Like, the Wii, New Super Mario Brothers, Donkey Kong Country Returns, Kirby's Epic Yarn, Kirby's Return to Dreamland.
Well, another reason is because they're not quite as graphically demanding. Which on
that
the Wii
be a problem now, but it's weird. But those games seem to be popular too.
They're good games.
Yeah, they are good games. But I'm like a little kind of sick of the 2D revival. It was kind of fun for a while.
Well, yeah, it's like when Mega Man 9 came out. You're like, OMG! And then 10 came out. You're like,
But it's. I mean, it's like you already got Mario. We have Rayman Legends is going to be on there. I'm like, how many 2D platformers are we going to need for the Wii U?
No, I agree.
I mean, it's not the Super Nintendo. I just want 3D. I mean, I'm not that 3D games are better, but I kind of want some more.
Yeah,
there still are Nintendo franchises that have not been imagined in a 3D setting yet. Like a Yoshi game. Like Kirby. It still baffles me that they just never tried with Kirby.
Yeah.
That would not be hard. Get the Mario physics and put in the sucking things. I talked about this before. It'd be awesome. Just like when he sucks in things, he'd have different like genres almost.
Yeah.
But, just I don't know, do something. Except for, like, just do something instead of making, like, the fifth 2D installment of a series again. I mean, I'm sure it's going to be like Donkey Kong Country Returns. And Kirby's another 2D game. Like, seriously, I'm kind of sick of it. Yeah, I get it. Yeah, it's just like the Super Nintendo games I used to love. That's awesome. I still have a Super Nintendo, you fucks. All right? Yeah, it's pretty. It's in HD. It's great. Okay. It'll be... I mean, even if it is a 2D Yoshi Island game, I'm sure it'll be fun. Maybe, but I just really hope it's
3D. You'd like to see them do something ambitious with it.
Yeah, exactly.
Don't be like, oh, we can make some money.
That's exactly... It's all about ambition. It's all about, like... Like, what's a big deal? Is them making, like, a 2D Yoshi game? That's kind of cute.
Well, if it's a 2D Yoshi game, it's like, well, new Super Mario Brothers sells a lot, but we just did that twice last year. What if we, like, fooled everybody and made it New Yoshi's Island and called it Yoshi's Land?
I'm just, like, picturing, like, how pretty that would look. Especially if we could, like, kind of capture that weird, like...
Crayon art style in 3D somehow. Oh, that'd be awesome. Yeah.
But it won't
be amazing.
All right, next.
Would you be sad if I told you there's no multiplayer in BioShock
Infinite?
No,
I'd be fine.
Okay, good. Michael, guess what?
What?
There's no multiplayer in BioShock
Infinite. I'm canceling my pre-order.
What?
I lied.
You lied to me.
I lied.
You lied.
Does anybody remember? Me and AJ have like this meme. It's very random, but I don't know if everybody here has played Force Unleashed, the first one, and... Spoiler alert, there's like a point where like Darth Vader reveals he is tricking you all along.
Yeah.
Because like your character's
you're
just
like, I don't understand. You told me that this was the case.
And he's like, I lied. I just love the way he does it.
I lied.
It's great. Like I'm not 100% okay with that Darth Vader impersonator.
No, sometimes, he's fine.
But I love it when he says, I lied. Very blunt. I mean, because it's true. It's like, what? It's Darth Vader. Why did you think you could trust him?
Yeah.
He's, like, laughing at you. Yeah, I lied to you, you asshole. Surprise.
That's
Lando.
That's why it was so great that it is blood. He's like, I lied. Like,
yeah. Surprise.
Good job. You figured it out.
Yeah, you got me. You found out my terrible secret. But what were we talking about? Oh, BioShock Infinite. Yeah, it doesn't even want that player.
Ken Levine said so on Twitter, so.
It is fine.
Yeah.
No one's going to care.
Okay.
I tried that, and no one cared.
So Reggie Fils-Aimé has been kind of lying.
Oh, yeah? He lied.
Thank you. He,
this has got to be the episode.
He's said that third-party games look dramatically better on the Wii U.
Well, he's touting the company line. That's obviously a lie.
Well, not only do
dramatically,
they...
wow.
Yeah, that's the thing. If it seemed one thing, if said they just look better, which is also not true, because, you know, Digital Foundry... They're that site, like that subdivision of Eurogamer that literally like goes through games pixel by pixel and compares them. Yeah, they said like Call of Duty, for example, it's they said they can tell it's running off the same code base as the 360 version, but the frame rate's not as good.
Well, you think that might just be porting issues on a new console?
Some people say yes. Some people say that really shouldn't be an issue.
That wouldn't
at this
be
point.
That wouldn't vindicate Reggie because he'd still be wrong. I'm just saying, like, hope for the future here.
Yeah.
I mean, like the first roundup of these third party ports are never that great looking for these things,
right?
So who knows?
So it's hard to say, but yeah, they definitely don't look dramatically better.
No, that for sure. Yeah.
I mean,
but hey, you know, he's the president of.
I know.
Nintendo,
that's why I think
America.
Sometimes they just shouldn't say anything.
No, what he. I feel like people just need to stop getting upset that the presidents of companies think that their stuff's pretty good and might sometimes, like, exaggerate.
Yeah. So you know who should have also not said anything, in my opinion? I don't know. The guy who's the... I should have wrote that.
I want to know why you suddenly, like, had to, like, back away from this a little bit. You're like, in my opinion, this guy maybe should not have...
Okay, so I'm going to talk about Final Fantasy XIV, A Realm Reborn.
Can I say, like, for some reason, like, I almost want to play this.
I am too, but this makes me nervous about it, I guess. So this is Naoki Yoshida, who's, like, the guy who's in charge of the reboot of it.
Yeah.
He didn't work in the original, but he was at Square at the time. Yeah. Basically, he's like, well, here's why Final Fantasy XIV sucked. So I can appreciate that he's being blunt about it. He's like, so when they made Final Fantasy XI... Like, the dev team spent, like, a year playing EverQuest so they could basically adapt that into Final Fantasy, which was pretty blatantly obvious.
Right.
Well, I guess, like, when they made 14, the ethos to it was, we need to make something different from 11. He's like, what they should have done was play World of Warcraft for a year and adapted that to Final Fantasy. Should they have done that?
Well,
I don't think so.
Well, it may have been better than what they did.
Oh, yeah. I mean,
it would have been nice if they said, what we really need to do is make something completely original and different. Although, is that what they're saying? Because, like, from 14,
yeah, I think that's what they thought they were doing with 14 in the first place. They just did a shitty job.
I mean, look, the problem is trying to reinvent the MMO from the ground up is hard work. I mean, even World of Warcraft is basically just EverQuest. Yeah. So, I mean, I don't know how much it would change.
I just don't like that he blatantly said, oh, they should have just played World of Warcraft for a year and put a Final Fantasy skin on it.
Yeah, I mean, you know. I mean, that's probably what a Realm Reborn is going to be. And I mean, it's going to be a lot better for it. I mean, it's kind of sad.
Yeah.
But, I mean, that's what all these things are. They're just World of Warcraft.
Did you see screenshots of the console interface of that?
Like, no, is it like...
It's cool, actually.
Oh, really?
I think. From what I can tell, when you look at it, you have basically, think of it like an 8-slot quick bar mapped to the face buttons and the D-pad buttons.
Okay.
And then hitting L2 and R2 shift them.
That's actually a lot of buttons you can get.
Yeah, yeah, that's what... They're 24 it's quick not bad, buttons. Yeah. Hell, I wonder if even hitting the two together would be a fourth row, so to speak.
You know what? MMO would work really great on consoles. Would
Guild Wars?
Yeah.
Yeah, because there's not a lot of buttons. I know. That's the other thing, too. Like, when you're making an MMO for a console. Right. Someday, maybe. Who knows? Someone will figure that out. Again, that's why I think, like, telling them play World of Warcraft for a year, then make an MMO that's going to also be on the PS3 that's a skin of that.
I can't wait till I'm done with all my... fall AAA releases, I can get back to, like, Guild Wars.
Yeah, I know. I know. I miss that game, actually. Yeah. It's good.
But, yeah, I'm kind of excited. I'm curious.
Yeah, I'm very curious.
I'm incredibly curious. Next.
So, the Wii Mini is going to be a thing in Canada only.
Yeah, it's dumb. Whatever.
Coming December 7th.
Because that's the problem with the Wii. It's just too damn big.
Yeah, and it had that Wi-Fi.
Oh, this one, they don't...
No Wi-Fi. No Wi-Fi, no game. Of course, no GameCube compatibility. That's not a shocker.
That's like the big deal to me. Like, oh, I can't play GameCube games.
Yeah.
Because guess what? Library was better.
Guess which one you might remember more later down the road.
Yeah. Next.
So there's a rumor because of a EA Shanghai employee's LinkedIn profile that Dragon Age 3 may now be targeted as a next-gen console release in 2014.
Well, that's sudden. I thought that thing was like going to be announced soon. Oh, well.
At least that means they'll be taking their time with the game.
I guess. I mean, I don't really care either way. Okay. I'll be honest.
I hope it's good.
I do, too. It'd be nice. It'd be nice if they use the same five dungeons. But
yeah,
hey,
yeah, yeah.
Expectations.
And finally, the Kickstarter for the sequel to...
Say the full name.
Well, I forget the name of the first one. Wait, hang on, let me try. Chef Boyardee presents Tale of Games Production.
Yeah, something like
that. Shut Up and Jam Gaiden, Chapter 1 of the Hoop Sparkly Saga. Am I right?
Yeah, I think so.
Oh, I got it.
That's about it.
Okay, well, the sequel is now being kickstarted. The sequel is The Magical Realms of Tir na n'Og, Escape from Necron 7, Revenge of Cthulainn, the official game of the movie, Chapter 2 of the Hoop Sparkly Saga.
It's cool because you can see it's like some gameplay video, and they have some pretty nice sprites. It's weird because, like, the first game, like, a lot of the comedy was, like, how kind of poorly it was made. Like, they were reusing a lot of assets from other games.
Yeah.
Like, Hoop Sparkly was basically that one guy from Streets of Rage 2, like, the kid with the... But, it's kind of weird. It's like almost like a twin stick shooter. It looks like.
Yeah, they're calling it an action RPG. Yeah, where the combat is like move with WASD, move a cursor on the screen with the mouse, and that's where you aim.
But I'm excited. Everyone knows I like Sparkly.
Yes.
All right.
Are you going to pay the $300?
Nah, probably
so you can
not.
Be a character portrait in the game, Mike.
It's tempting.
It's just the price of a Wii U, Mike.
True. All right, you ready for our our. What was that?
Just call it Versus.
Yeah, Versus. All right, Versus.
Okay, so, like, we'll start, like, I'll say my first one, you say yours.
Well, you say first, then you say Versus.
And then and then we'll go back and forth, so that we take turns being second. Okay, ready?
I mean, I could just be second all the time. But wouldn't it
upset me?
But you okay, take ready? Turns. Wait, no, I don't have mine up.
No.
I'm not ready.
No, you should have had it up before
it's
right we started.
It's up now.
Michael, you're taking forever.
All the time it took you to yell at me, it's up. Go ahead.
Okay, Bioshock versus...
Knights of the Old Republic.
Ooh.
I'm going to say Bioshock.
I was going to say that's the Republic.
I know you are. See, this is what we're always disagreeing. Do we have to, like, come to a consensus?
No.
Wait, what? Well, then what's... Wait.
Okay,
can
okay,
I try
fine.
To dissuade you?
So this is why you need three people. I realize now you need a tiebreaker vote.
I knew that. Yeah.
Present your argument.
Hey, Mom!
Mom doesn't know anything about either one of those games.
What are you
gonna now she's going to hear you call her and get confused.
Yeah, Why do you like the Republic better?
Part of it's nostalgia.
Is it? Well, I'll tell you. Well, you. Know, here's,
I mean, both games.
Here's my argument for you. Knights of the Old Republic has a better story.
Yeah.
Bioshock 2 has a better world.
Yeah.
For sure.
Well, I mean, Knights of the Republic's world is Star Wars, which isn't a bad world.
Well, it's all, it's okay, but,
I mean, it's,
it is kind of very much like, here's the desert area, here's the forest area.
Yeah. It's interesting these got paired up, because these are probably two of the most famous plot twists in video gaming.
That's true, actually. Yeah, yeah. Which I guess I wouldn't.
And they were both great twists.
Maybe I would say Knights of the Republic if I hadn't played it kind of later.
Yeah, that's true, too. You played
it just like a couple years ago.
Yeah, and I played it back in the day. I mean, you know, the only, like, I'm splitting hairs because they're both excellent games. I'm trying to think of the negatives. I mean, BioShock has kind of a weak ending.
Yeah, it's not like a horrible ending. It's kind of, well, BioShock's climax happens too early.
Yeah.
That's always been my problem with it. With, like, I kind of think about it from a structural point of view,
mm-hmm.
is that everything gets, there's a point in the game way before the ending where everything you care about gets resolved, and then the game keeps happening, and you kind of don't care anymore. Not a problem. I will say when Knights of the Republic, I'm still not a fan of the whole good side, dark light side, dark side thing.
Yeah.
I feel like the story doesn't make any sense if you choose to do dark side.
It does, but like...
It doesn't, no.
Did you do it?
No, no, just, I've seen it before, though. It's just thematically.
Yeah.
I mean, because like, well, I'll just say it now, whatever, that game's so goddamn old. Then all of a sudden, it's a story about a Sith who lost his memory and became a Sith anyways. So, it's... not about anything. Meanwhile, really, Star Wars, the major theme of like Star Wars in general is redemption. So, like, having this whole thing like, oh, he's a Sith, but he loses his memory, and then he's a Jedi now. That's awesome. That's great. That's one of the best redemption stories in gaming.
Yeah.
It's like, it's kind of even more intriguing than, like, the actual Star Wars
like
story.
Darth Vader?
Yeah, in a way.
Yeah.
But, definitely. I'm almost trying to... You know what? Maybe I'm going to say Knights of the Republic.
Uh-huh. See, all
right. Maybe I will say that right now. All right. Because I'm, like, convincing myself. Because, like, really what I like about BioShock is kind of the atmosphere more than anything else. Like, the gameplay is good and all
that. Yeah, because, again, if you want to talk about choice, the choice in that game was way inconsequential. It was just, what ending cinematic do you want
to
see?
Yeah, I guess so. But, like, I just, like, the world was so cool and it looked so good.
Yeah.
And, like...
Again,
like,
they're two of the best video games ever made.
And it was great, right? Yeah, so we're splitting here, sir.
Okay.
All right, so I'm going to start this next one. Okay, Star Trek Elite Force.
Versus Mass Effect 2.
Well, here's what I... Okay, before we have to indignantly bury Elite Force.
About
Here's what I like about... Elite Force is, probably doesn't get a whole lot of love
now. It's the best Star Trek game, hands down.
It's one of my favorite Unreal 2.
Yeah, it was a great shooter. It's one of the earliest examples of games I could think of, in the modern era at least, when you didn't see this often, where a character could get killed off in the beginning of the game, who if you would have saved them, they would have still been in the story.
Oh yeah, that's true.
Like, that happened back in the day, because it wasn't complicated to manage that, because you didn't have many assets.
I started having, like,
voice acting and all that, and it was like, oh wow, you recorded all these lines for a voice actor that we may never hear. There was a male and female choice for the main character, so it had that in common with Mass Effect.
Right, and that was kind of earlier for the stuff. But Mass Effect 2 is Mass Effect 2, it wins.
Yeah, Mass Effect 2 is one of the best video games ever.
Okay, your turn.
Okay, I wish my iPhone stopped blocking itself. The Curse of Monkey Island.
Oh, shit, versus Wind Waker.
Oh, fight!
Wind Waker.
Yeah, I guess.
It's interesting because they both look like cartoons.
Yes. They're probably two of the best-looking cartoon video games there are.
Wind Waker is still one of the best-looking games ever. Like, I watch video of that now.
Oh, yeah.
Like, not even with... you can have some people, like, they can HD-ify it, and it looks really good. But even with just as it is.
Oh, yeah.
Oh, that game looks good.
Yeah, it's a great game.
But it's definitely my favorite Zelda still. Skyward Sword is my second right now.
I mean, this makes me sad, because, I mean, Cursed Monkey Island is the best Monkey Island game and the second best point-click adventure game.
I don't know if it's the best Monkey Island game.
You don't think?
Two might have it beat.
I like three better.
I might be more... three was the first one I played, actually.
Mm-hmm.
It's probably very funny. It's very good puzzles. That's most of all the series. But
You gotta say Wind Waker, though.
I love Wind Waker way too much. Okay. All right. So this is interesting. I guess it still works, but Mass Effect 2!
Versus Braid.
Oh, shouldn't you have gone first?
No, it was your turn.
Oh, well, you're right. Okay. I like Braid a lot, actually.
I like Braid a lot, too, but again, you said Mass Effect 2, which is one of my favorite video games of all time.
I mean, I think you're gonna say Mass Effect 2.
Probably, yeah.
But for me...
Braid was good, but, like, for what it was, I still had two major problems with that game, where there were two puzzles that were unprecedented in the rest of the game. They were never taught to you, and there was really no way to intuit that that was what you're supposed to do.
I understand, but when you have so many puzzles in a game, you're going to have that maybe. I mean, you love Curse of Monkey Island, but there's no way you're going to be able to play that game for the first time without any outside help.
That's a different mindset, I feel like. Adventure game versus platform puzzle game.
The
one where you had to, like, jump under the guy, okay, you maybe, because that's still within the realm of, like, platforming. Mm. But when, like, it was, you were, like, you walked on the platform made by the painting, there was no precedent for that. I had no idea you can do that with those paintings.
That one's a little iffy, but, I mean, I don't know, but besides that, some of the other complaints people have for Braid, I just don't share them.
People don't like the pretentious kind of storytelling or the fact that the story is just walls of text.
But it's kind of different in a way. I mean, unless you hate reading so much, you can't stand to read something for a little bit. I like that, like, you don't really know what it's about. It's kind
of
cool.
Of Braid is brilliant.
Yeah, that's awesome.
That was brilliant.
Like, just, like, as an experience, Braid is great. It's kind of, it's unforgettable to me. And, like, I know a lot of people kind of, like, maybe, like, Braid was so popular, people kind of got sick of it.
Yeah.
But I still don't know.
Well, let me ask you a question. Which one had Thane Krios in it again?
Well, you like Thane more than I do. Thane's cool. I like Garrus. I mean, I'm still going to pick Mass Effect 2.
Yeah, I know, me too.
It's Mass Effect 2, and it was incredible.
Yes.
But, you know, I like Braid a lot, so that's what I'm saying.
All right. Number five on the list.
Here we go.
Ready? Portal 2.
Versus Bioshock.
Again, two excellent world-built games where you have characters talking to you through radios and such.
Yeah, I'll tell you what. I sometimes undersell Portal 2 to myself. Like,
really?
How much I liked it.
I think I saw,
like, as
it
great
correctly.
As it was, like, something, like, I have a hard time, like, saying it was, like, oh, it's one of my favorite games of all
time. I think it's one of the best told stories in a video game.
No, it is. That's what I'm saying. For, like, as good as it is, I guess I'm surprised I'm not more enthusiastic about it sometimes.
Yeah.
That's all I'm trying to say.
Yeah, yeah.
I don't know why, because it deserves to be received enthusiastically.
Yeah.
Whereas Bioshock was a game, like, not only that I was great, I loved, but, like, I kind of, like, oh, I need to have a Big Daddy statue, and I love Bioshock so much, I need to tell everybody how much I love Bioshock, 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 Bioshock. Portal 2 is probably the better made game, for sure.
Yeah, I think Portal 2 is one of the best well-crafted video games.
Right, and it's definitely very funny. I guess...
I honestly think I go Portal 2 on this. Mm-hmm.
See, I feel like, see...
Again, we're splitting hairs.
I almost want to say Portal 2, too, and I'm feeling bad, because I keep feeling like I'm just not picking Bioshock for stuff. And I feel like I'm part of the problem. I complain about Portal 2, like, people, like, they're kind of trying to diminish Bioshock.
Yeah.
And how important, and how good it was.
Yeah.
But yeah, Portal 2.
All right.
Okay, Metroid Prime versus...
Red Dead Redemption.
Oh, God. Ooh, ouch.
Wow, these are hard.
Yeah, well, we keep picking, like, too many great games.
I know.
I
mean, Red Dead is, I think, one of, if not the best open world games.
It is. It might actually have the best story of this generation, too.
Yeah.
In terms of, like, plot and...
Especially in an open world game, where usually plot doesn't work
so
well.
And it's one of the few stories, like, it seems like so many of the stories I like from these games today, like, always have, like, a problem.
Mm-hmm.
Like, Bioshock has a bad ending, Mass Effect has a bad ending, or, you know, they do something stupid. Red Dead Redemption doesn't have any problems.
Yeah. Now, Metroid Prime, first of all, is one of the best jumps from 2D to 3D that ever was.
Yeah.
Maybe even better than Mario 64. Just because...
Well, I'll tell you what, it retained more of itself than Mario did.
Yeah, it retained, but it also was a completely different format. I mean, Mario 64 is kind of like the linear progression. Well, we're moving in two dimensions, now we're moving in three.
I disagree completely. I think it's the opposite. Whereas Mario 64 is kind of a very different thing than what a 2D Mario was. Whereas a 3D Metroid is basically just 2D Metroid, but literally in 3D. And the fact that they did that so perfectly is kind of amazing.
Okay, I see what you're saying.
How I kind of view it. Because, like, for instance, like, Mario 64, all of a sudden, yeah, like, it's like, the height of your jump matters a lot more. You have, like, a punch attack, you know?
Yeah, that's true.
Like, crazy stuff like that, which didn't matter at all in the other ones. Like, wall jumping. Like, the acrobatics were incredible. Were what was important in Mario.
Yeah, the triple jump and all that.
Yeah, and, like, the wall jumping and, like,
the
all that stuff.
The backflip.
Yeah. Like, that stuff didn't matter before.
Yeah, you're right.
Before it really mattered about aiming your jumping on enemies. That was basically the game. I hope you can aim jumping well. Whereas Metroid, like, before it was about, you know...
Exploring an alien planet.
Exploring and using the right weapons for the right situations, stuff like that. And that's exactly what it's still about. That's what I think is kind of impressive. I was going to say Red Dead Redemption, though. Red Dead Redemption is, like... It's like, my second favorite game from this console generation. After, like, Uncharted 2.
Oh, well.
Red Dead Redemption.
I'll go with Red Dead as well.
Okay.
All right, so now we are on... Beavis and Butthead Virtual Stupidity versus...
Oh, my God. Super Metroid? Well, okay.
Okay, you picked Super Metroid, one of the, again, greatest Super video Metroid. Games ever made.
Yeah, it's Super Metroid.
Yeah, although, not to discount it so quickly, because Beavis and Butthead Virtual Stupidity is one of the secret best point-click adventure games
really
ever made.
It's pretty funny stuff.
It's really good.
All right, you ready?
Yeah.
Yoshi's Island.
Versus Angry Birds. Yoshi's Island. We kind of talked about Yoshi's Island already. All right. Fallout 3.
Versus Super Mario Sunshine.
Hmm.
Super Mario Sunshine is making a bizarro comeback in terms of, like, how it was perceived.
Yeah, I mean, I liked it because I like tropical things, and I think people didn't like it because it was only tropical.
Right, but, like, now people kind of like that about it.
Well, because I think people have finally gotten sick of, okay, every Mario game is going to have the desert level and the volcano level and the underwater level and the forest level. Whereas now it's just like, look, we're going to take a theme, we're just going to go with it.
Mm-hmm.
And that was nice. It was refreshing. Also, I don't know why. Like, for some reason, the water effects in that game
were really more good.
It felt wet. I know this is a weird thing to say, but, like,
yeah,
you know what I mean?
They are this kind of slippery and, yeah, I know what you mean.
It just felt right.
And I like that it did kind of have that dimension to it. Like, it was different, you know?
Mm-hmm.
It's definitely very underappreciated. Although, I guess, it's weird, because usually underappreciated games don't become more appreciated. It's like a Nightmare Before Christmas effect.
A little bit.
When Nightmare Before Christmas was, like, this weird underground thing for a very long time.
And then
all
popular.
Of a sudden, like, Hot Topic started selling all these hoodies, and then, like, all of a sudden everyone loved it. But, yeah, all of a sudden, like, Super Mario Sunshine is cool again.
Yeah.
But Fallout 3 is Fallout 3.
Yeah, which is also...
It's, like, was one of my favorite
Western
RPGs.
I love the original ending of Fallout before... Even, you know, I was fine that they amended it because it just made the DLC work better.
I didn't even like the amendment.
But the original ending to that game, I thought was great.
I thought it was pretty cool.
I loved it. I loved it.
I mean, I'll pick Fallout 3.
Me too. All right, number 10, you're up.
All righty. Fallout Fantasy 6.
Versus Daytona, USA.
Oh, come on. Final Fantasy VI.
Yeah, I know.
Racing. And I'm the biggest racing sim fan.
Oh, that wasn't a sim. That was the most arcadey of arcade racers.
You're correct.
All right. A stall.
Oh, versus Street Fighter IV?
Interesting. I mean, Street Fighter IV was a great kind of rebirth of the 2D fighting genre.
Mm-hmm.
Just, you know, done with 3D graphics. You know, it was solid. It was fun. But a stall, if you even heard of it, we should probably say what the game is.
Well, it's like a weird, it's like a 2D brawler kind of old game.
Yeah, for the Saturn.
Kind of like, what would you compare it to? Because it's not like, because you can't go up and down. So it's not like Streets of Rage or Double Dragon. It's more like,
honestly, it's not... Is that right? I don't know. I was almost going to say it's not too dissimilar from Donkey Kong Country in some ways.
Only
less of a platformer.
Yeah, because that's really not much of a platformer. It was just a beautiful game, though.
All hand-drawn 2D animation. But the thing that made it great for us, it had a very cool co-op where the second player was this, like, bird.
You're right. It was very different.
I mean, it was, like, it could have been just, like, I feel like if this game were made today, the bird would just be, like, grab some items and help out.
Right, but no,
but like, the bird
attack.
Like was a completely unique experience from playing as the main character, Stahl. So it was kind of fun. Like, you didn't mind being the second player in that game,
right.
You know what I mean?
Yeah, yeah. Well, which is good, because I always was. I'm still going to say just Street Fighter 4, though.
Really?
Come on.
I think
there's some rose-tinted glasses going on here.
Well, I think I also get a little annoyed with Street Fighter, because... After saying they weren't going to do it, there were three versions of that game released.
Yeah, whatever.
All right, I'll go with your Street Fighters.
Yeah, yeah, give me that. I gave you Knights of the Republic.
Yeah, yeah, yeah.
So help me out here.
You're going to laugh when you hear this next one.
What?
I'm really curious to see what game you pick here. Go ahead, you're up.
Braid versus... I did Braid, too.
Rail Chase.
Oh, God.
So Rail Chase was an arcade game. It was a very simple... On rail, like, it would have been a light gun game, except you just moved a cursor around with joysticks, but you sat on a seat that was a motion simulator platform that moved with the game. You were in, like, runaway mine carts.
Mm-hmm.
It was amazing.
Well, it was fun, but Braid is Braid. I'm with Braid.
Yeah. All right, so that means, okay, Fable 2.
Versus Diablo 2.
Huh.
Oh, Diablo 2. Fable.
Yeah.
Fable 2 is definitely the best of the Fable games.
Your dog is trying to eat trash.
Yeah.
Hey, Penny, come here.
don't eat trash, Penny. 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 All right. But yeah, no, Diablo 2. Come on. Fable 2 is the best that they... It's the closest that series got to being what it should be.
Yeah.
And it's still kind of like...
Still have, like, farting.
it still took place in the
make
weird...
someone fall in love with you by hitting the up button 7 times that you make them laugh and then give them a wedding ring.
I know. But, I mean, it was definitely the... It had the best, like, mechanics of those games by
the
far.
Dog worked
the dog
very
was
well.
Cool. And compared to Fable 3, the game's brilliant. But Diablo 2 is Diablo 2. Diablo 2 is great. All right. I'm going this time, right?
Yep.
Sonic R.
Versus Aladdin for the Sega Genesis.
Aladdin.
Yeah.
Sonic R. I like some people.
Sonic R is great.
Some people try to make Sonic
Again,
R a joke.
Probably nostalgia.
Yeah, I think it's all nostalgia, actually. Great soundtrack. I
phenomenal
think that
soundtrack.
Bad. Everybody super Sonic Risen. Gotta keep your feet right on the
But yeah, the Aladdin game for Genesis.
That was back when Capcom was making all those.
No,
awesome
that wasn't Capcom. That was Virgin Interactive.
Oh, really?
Yeah.
That's right.
The Disney animators actually drew the sprites for that game.
That wonder looks good.
Yeah.
It's weird how there's also a completely different one for Super Nintendo that wasn't nearly as good.
Yeah, but like people who play that were like, oh, it's so good. I'm like, no, it's not. You didn't play the Genesis one.
Okay.
My turn.
Oh, God.
Okay. KOTOR.
Oh, versus Red Dead Redemption.
Ooh.
Red Dead Redemption. I mean, we already talked about it. No, it's just a thing. You didn't get to the best part of Red
Dead
Redemption yet.
Someday
has that not been spoiled
promise
for you yet?
It was.
Yeah, I know it was, because it's the coolest ending ever, and everyone talks about it.
Well, I didn't get too many specifics, but I got, like, one of the important parts
of
it.
Yeah, I'm sure. All right, Red Dead Redemption. There's no reconciling this one.
All right, fine.
Monkey Island 2, Chuck's Revenge.
Versus the original Super Smash Brothers.
Oh, if you said Melee, I would be having problems, but... No, Monkey Island 2.
Yeah, Monkey Island 2.
I don't... The first Smash Bros. Was like a cute... It was fun at the time, and it was a good...
It was almost like a proof of concept.
Yeah, it really
was. It was like the warm-up for Melee. All
right, your turn.
Ah, excuse me. Virtua Cop 3.
Virtua Star Fox 64. Interesting.
Strangely interesting.
Yeah, because they're both kind of from the same era.
Yeah, Virtua Cop 3, it was an arcade-only release, and I only ever saw it twice. But it was Virtua Cop, but you had a pedal you hit to go into bullet time, which
was cool.
Strangely awesome for some reason.
I mean, my biggest knock against it is that I didn't get to play it enough.
Yeah. Star Fox 64 is, like, my favorite Nintendo 64 game.
Yeah, I don't know if I like it more than, like, freaking Mario 64.
I mean, in truth, probably not, but, like...
At the time,
it was,
yeah,
like, the first fully voiced Nintendo game.
Yeah.
I love the original Star Fox, so, like, I was very excited to play that one.
It was cool. I mean, I'm definitely going Star
the first
Fox
time,
there.
Yeah, me too. Like, when it went to, like, all range mode, you're like,
yeah, that was
not
pretty
on
cool,
rails
man
anymore?
Take notes, Peter Mullen.
Yeah.
All right, Metal Gear Solid, the original.
Versus Diablo 2.
You did Diablo 2 also.
Yeah.
Well, this is kind of interesting, because I like Diablo 2 a lot.
Yeah, but Metal Gear Solid, I feel like... In many ways, Metal Gear Solid was the beginning of the modern console game.
It really was.
It raised the bar for narrative, animation, gameplay.
I feel like it really kind of popularized the in-game cutscene.
Yeah.
Even though a lot of it they had to use codec, but like you did have those in-game cutscenes. You did not see that a lot at all before that.
And here's like a funny reminder. People don't even realize this. The characters' mouths didn't even move. In
right
that game.
Yeah, I know.
But you wouldn't even realize it, because they did such a good job of just... I don't know, somehow that game just completely came to life.
Yeah, I mean, I'm definitely saying Metal Gear Solid.
Yeah.
As much as I liked Diablo 2.
Mm-hmm.
Is this mine?
No, it's me. God of War 2.
Oh, this is GoldenEye.
Hmm.
I have a GoldenEye on there. It's well documented how I do not think GoldenEye was as cool as everyone thought it was. I'm definitely going God of War 2 here.
Yeah, me too. I think that's the best God of War.
No, I think my favorite one might actually be...
My favorite one is Chains of Olympus,
yeah,
on the PSP.
That's
but
my favorite one, too.
I think if you were to objectively look at them, God of War 2 probably was the best one.
Maybe. Okay.
But I always thought GoldenEye was overrated.
Yeah, me too. So there it is. All right, your turn.
No, it's your turn.
Okay, Super Mario RPG. This is the last one, by
versus
the way.
Versus Mario Kart 64.
Interesting. Oh, Mario RPG.
Yeah, that's one of the...
Also, that's my least favorite Mario Kart, almost. I don't...
Really? It's my second
maybe
favorite.
Maybe I like it better than, like, the Game Boy Advance one. Like a favorite.
I like the 3DS one the best.
Whoa, you picked 64 over Double Dash?
Oh, I forgot about Double Dash.
Yeah, you forgot
okay,
about
okay, you're right.
Double
okay, Double Dash.
Yeah, come on.
Yeah, it's up there.
All right.
I have 5 more backups. Did you write more backups? We can
I
keep
have
going.
Any backups. No, we did a lot. Come on, save them.
I like this. Okay. We'll do this again, though. This
all
is
right
fun.
It's fun. All right. Our Week in Gaming.
So we finished Assassin's Creed 3. We'll talk about that later.
I don't know if I said this on here, but everyone needs to make sure they do all the homestead missions.
Yes, do the homestead missions.
That's my favorite part of the game, honestly. God.
It is the best part.
I mean, especially when you see them all through, because it's just, like, personal kind of stuff.
It
makes you like
Connor.
A lot
of people complain, like, Connor's kind of a dumb character, but...
Really?
Those people didn't play the homestead mission.
I guess so.
Otherwise, he just kind of says stuff.
I guess so, yeah. I guess the homestead stuff is where you kind of like him.
Yeah.
For sure.
So, quickly, I only got to play like a half hour of it, but I got Need for Speed Most Wanted, Criterion game. That is the full title.
It's basically Burnout Paradise 2, right?
It's exactly Burnout Paradise 2, except with licensed cars.
That's pretty cool.
It's
try that.
Awesome. It's so fun, just because it immediately, I was like, yes, I'm back in the mindset of Burnout. It feels right. It looks fantastic. Yeah,
I like just watching you play for a second. It's really good.
Because, I mean, Criterion did the Need for Speed Hot Pursuit, which was good. But, like, it felt like a sequel to Burnout 3, but with cops.
Yeah.
So this is the sequel to Burnout Paradise with cops, which is so fun. Because now when you're driving around the city just screwing around, every so often you get into these organic cop chases through an open world city where you have to lose them. When I was playing it before, like, I was just going around through the city. I went, you know, through a speed, like through a red light. You know, cop was there. She starts chasing me. I get on the highway. Another one joins in. And I end up on this, like, switchback mountain road, just going up this huge mountainside.
Right.
Just pulling, like, all these awesome drifts around all these corners until I finally got over the mountain, hit back in the highway, and lost the cops. So it was so cool.
Is the progression system similar? Like, the actual game? Is it similar to Paradise City, where, like, you're just trying to complete events?
Yeah, they have that concept where you, like, pull up to an intersection, like, you know, but it's specific events to specific cars. I think that's how they help to keep the leaderboards fair.
Okay.
If a race can only be done in a certain car.
Okay.
So, the way you get new cars in the game is when you see them in the world, you have to figure out how to get to it, and then you just park next to it and hit the Y button.
Oh.
So some cars are, like, just right there, but other ones is, like, up on top of a bridge. You're like, oh, how do I get up there?
You can't get out of your car, right?
No.
Okay.
The only problem with that is, like, the reason I've done so few races is because you, like, you punch in a race, and you mark it as a waypoint, you're driving to it, and, like, on your way, you're like, ooh, a car.
Right.
So you go get that.
Mm-hmm. That's, like, the reason why it takes me forever to, like, beat Assassin's Creed 3.
Right. And they do all that auto-log stuff that, like, EA's been big on, which is great, because not only is it, you know, leaderboards on races, but, like, a lot of intersections have, like, a speed camera. And you'll see, like, if you drive through that intersection, there's, like, a flash, like, a camera goes off, and it'll just say, you are going through that intersection doing 175 miles per hour. But these two friends in your friends list did it faster than that.
That's cool.
Same thing with smashing through the billboards.
Oh, wow.
Some billboards are about speed. Some are about how far you go off the jump at the billboard.
Mm-hmm.
And the billboard, after you've crashed through it the first time, it stays in the world, but it has, like, an info card with a gamer pick of the person who's beating you on it.
Now, well, I just want to know, why did they kind of get rid of the whole Burnout franchise?
They haven't. Criterion said that it's still on the table for it to happen again. Basically, when I think EA just realized, like, okay, well, people, like, have hated the Need for Speed games for a while, but we own Criterion and people love them, so let's let them do it.
I guess so.
I mean, it just means that now Criterion gets to work with actual licensed cars. I mean, you start this game in a Ferrari. That's great. Cool. You get, like, Audis and Aston Martins.
Oh, wow. I gotta definitely try it.
Oh, my God, so good. It's so good. And, wait, there's one more thing I was gonna say, too. Oh, yeah, this was cool. I think it's just for your most wanted level, not, like, all the individual things. But that list, which is just your accumulated speed points, I think they call it, is cross-platform.
Yeah, you're telling me.
Because Pete, our friend who has it for Vita, is showing up on my list.
That's pretty crazy.
That's pretty neat. So, yeah, I got it for $25 on Black Friday, so I was pretty pleased with that.
Is there any, like, cross stuff between, like, the Vita and PS3 version?
That I don't know.
Okay. All right, well, so we played the Lego Lord of the Rings demo, which was awesome.
It's so fun. I just smile the whole time.
It's great. Yeah, it's great because, like, the demo's Helm's Deep, and it's, like, it turns, like, that battle into, like, a Lego game with, like, these kind of, like, little combat puzzles and stuff like that.
Knocking down ladders. Right. And
like, it's weird because they use, like, the dialogue from the actual movies, but it still kind of has, like, this weird humor, like, the way the characters react to things.
Yeah, emote funny, like, you know, Aragorn, like, comes back to the keep after they all think he's dead. He's, like, pulling starfishes out of his clothes, and, like, a fish falls out of his cape.
Yeah.
Goofy stuff like that. But, like, you get to the scene where, like, Gimli can't see over the ledge. He's saying he could have picked a better spot, which is played out exactly like it is in the movie, but it's Lego characters, and you're like, well, this is perfect.
Right. I will say, like, the one thing I didn't like, it's not that big a deal. Like, I always love that these games use the licensed music. It's mm-hmm. awesome. I was just getting annoyed by the inappropriate use of music.
Yeah, they're playing the Gondor music when you're with the Rohan
right.
riders.
And I understand it's an exciting
song. When the
Rohirrim's
coming down, they didn't play that bit of music. It's like,
yeah, you have the music.
Also, the game looks strikingly good.
It does. I don't think it like, Lego games never been terrible looking.
When the Wall of Helm's Deep blows up and it's these Lego pieces that go flying, cool. It's great.
It's fun. I mean, it's just like, that's the thing with the Lego games, really. It's like, how much do you like that franchise?
Exactly.
It's like, how much would I like Lego Pirates of the Caribbean? I mean, I like Pirates of the Caribbean, but like, I don't really want to play that whole game.
Yeah, but Lego Lord of the Rings, I'm on board.
Right.
All the way.
We played Sonic the Fighter Strike a second, which is like...
better than I expected.
It's like, it's funny because that game, when it was like announced...
It was so mythical.
Because I knew that it was a game, but like I could never play it, because I don't even know if they released it in America for arcade.
No, they did.
But it's like impossible to find.
Yeah.
So like now I can finally just download it, and it's like a very... now that I'm older and smarter, I knew that it wasn't going to be that great.
Yeah.
It's a very simple 3D fighting game.
Yeah.
It's kind of pretty, though. It's like the polygon, like the characters are
always
kind of blocky.
Yeah, they actually look remarkably okay.
But they're blocky, but I also kind of like it. It has some charm, and the frame rate is really good.
Yeah, well, should be. Right. Oh, there she goes. Hey, Penny, get away from that.
Yeah. So what else did you play?
I started Baldur's Gate Enhanced Edition, which made me very happy because as part of the enhancement to the game, like, the whole thing of this is like, you know, it runs in high-res widescreen monitors, although they didn't change any of the original art. So if you zoom in, you know, it's blurry. But that's fine. But they added an actual tutorial so that you can actually... have someone explain to you the whole thing, because like, it's Dungeons & Dragons 2.0, so like this finally explains you with like learning spells, then you have to memorize the spell and write it in your spell book, and
it's
kind of all these kind of now antiquated things as far as D&D goes. So it's good to kind of just have someone explain that. I still don't know what THACO is. Exactly.
Okay.
It's THAC and then zero, but I think it has to do with armor.
Okay.
Anyway, so I just did the tutorial. I'm just starting the main quest now. So, but yeah. I'm very excited to play it because I had that game back in the day, but it was right over my
head.
Yeah,
me too. Like when these games are popular, I could never do them. And now that I have some Western RPG experience, which I didn't for a very long time.
Right.
Not really until like Fallout 3 was like the first one I really played. It's kind of a recent thing with me. So I'm excited to try this out. I'm going to get the iPad version when that comes out.
Yeah, it should be out next week.
Okay, anything else?
There's something else I feel like I was going to talk.
Apparently not.
Out.
What are the releases?
Okay.
Well, what?
I'm sorry. I have this nagging feeling that I'm forgetting something.
I'm sure it's not that important then.
Okay. If you say so, Mike.
Yeah.
So Baldur's Gate Enhanced Edition. Ratchet & Clank Full Frontal Assault, which is our friend. The new one they made.
For what? I mean. Well, it says there. What does it say?
Ratchet & Clank Full Frontal Assault blends a series class...
What system?
Oh, PS3.
That's what I'm asking you.
Sorry. I thought you said
for what system
it
at one
sounds
point.
Like you said, what's it say? And I was like, oh, I'll read
what's
this.
What's it for?
What do you think it was for?
It might have heard, but Sony has another system. I thought it might have been a Vita game. I don't know.
I think it's supposed to come to Vita eventually, too.
I don't know.
Blends a series classic comedy, camera, and controls with an innovative new way to play.
Because it's
like
not like a real Ratchet Clank game, right?
Yeah, well...
Is it a downloadable game?
Yeah,
or?
I think so. No, yeah. They show a picture of... I don't know. Jeff Parsons, who's a huge Ratchet and Clank fan, hates it.
Oh, really?
Yeah.
Why are they like experimenting so much with Ratchet and Clank?
I know.
They're like,
just make a Ratchet and Clank game.
Like, I kind of want to hear more because I do like Ratchet and Clank.
Yeah.
I actually want that like HD collection for Christmas.
Yeah.
Next.
There's a new EverQuest expansion.
That's funny.
The 19th expansion.
They got it. When they get the 20, they're going to be like, all right.
Yeah.
Nice round number.
Karateka. Mm. It's a remake of an old Jordan Mechner game, the guy who made Prince of Persia.
Sounded kind of familiar.
Yeah. That happened.
Is that it?
Yeah.
Didn't, like, there's a couple of games are getting reviewed. Did that work? Like, Hitman got it came out.
Yeah.
And Far Cry is getting reviewed everywhere. Both games that, like, I just don't really care about.
Yeah.
Despite how good people say they are.
Yeah. No, yeah, I'm with you.
All right, so, let's call it here, and then we'll talk about Assassin's Creed.
No, yeah, I almost forgot about that.
Yeah. All right, just a little bit. All right, so, thanks for listening, everybody. If you're not going to stick around, listen to our Assassin's Creed talk. You can find more of us at Twitter.com/explainingbarrel and at Facebook at facebook.com/explainingbarrel. go to ebpodcast.com. You can find all of our past episodes and stuff. And also check out our YouTube page at youtube.com/explodingbarrel. And go to the NFT's Music Store, find us on there, leave a review. Alright, everybody, thanks for listening. We're going to talk about Assassin's Creed 3's ending after this little musical break. Otherwise, we'll see you later.
Bye.
Get the big. What's so bad about it? What's so bad about the Assassin's Creed 3 ending?
It's not bad. Like, it's not Mass Effect 3 original ending bad.
No, well, no, not at all.
I just think,
I mean, it's kind of lame, but I mean, it's kind of what, it's not beyond the series norm at all.
I know, but you're saying the reason it's okay to be bad is because that's the precedent. Well, that's not a good excuse.
I'm not saying it's bad, though. It's mediocre.
My sort of issue, and I think the greater issue that people in general have, is that Ubisoft made a very, very, very big deal. This is going to wrap up Desmond's story. And by wrapping it up, they kind of kill him. I mean, I guess I didn't
even know if he was killed. For some reason, that kind of flew over my head that he was dead there.
No, they... Okay, so I guess we'll say real quickly. Well, so, you'd like touch this little pedestal thing that somehow releases Juno, I guess. And this thing also did something to stop the world from being destroyed.
There's like
by
a lot of
flares.
This stuff with the people who were around before, with
the precursors.
They're dumb in general. I don't like them.
No, but
In general, I don't like them. So I'm not surprised that the ending involving them is bad.
But I just feel like the whole series was we're going to stop the world from being destroyed on December 21st,
and they did
from solar flares. But I don't know what I did to save the world. I touched something.
But I will say, like, the way people were talking, I thought that you weren't going to save the world. Like, they were going to save that for the next game. Like, oh, okay.
No.
Well, that happens. You do it.
Well, it's just, I find it weird, because, like, they go into great detail about the other six things they tried in the past.
Yeah.
And then the one that works, you know nothing about.
Like, why didn't they just do it?
Yeah, like, I just don't understand why...
Yeah, it doesn't make a lot of sense.
Like, why no one, like, in that conversation that the five people had, someone would say, so wait, hang on a second. What does this do?
What's she doing?
She's sniffing.
Okay, sorry, my dog.
Yeah, like, I can't believe, like, Desmond or Miles or Sean or someone to go, hang on, what happens when we touch this exactly? What stops the solar flares from causing the Earth to crack asunder?
Yeah, I mean, look, I'm not saying it's great, but just the way people were going on, I thought something, like, ridiculous was going to happen. This is just kind of per the norm with this stuff, with these precursors.
Well, I just feel like this five-game saga... See? Instead of, well, okay, saga, I don't mean it in the epic
sense. No, but
sense.
I know what you mean, but, like, really, when they went in time, the only thing that makes it a saga...
Can I finish my sentence?
Oh, my God, fine.
No, because I think you're going to go on a different direction than what I'm saying.
I thought I was on your direction.
I just feel it's weird that the conclusion to this story arc was literally set up for the next one without really wrapping anything up.
I don't think...
Like, it doesn't feel like anything concluded.
No, I don't think so either, but... I guess maybe I missed this memo where this was supposed to be a big finale.
No, they talked about that a lot.
I guess. I mean, I don't know. But I mean, I know that they are always going to make yearly Assassin's Creed games. So
yeah.
Even if I had heard that, like, maybe I just didn't believe it, rightfully so. I mean, you know, they still lied, whatever, shame on them. But
yeah. Yeah.
But, like, you know, so, like, the ending to the precursor story is lame and kind of disappointment. Oh, this precursor story stuff has always been kind of stupid. Really, like, people are always like, oh, there's going to be more Desmond. It's going to be better this time. The Desmond stuff was most effective in Assassin's Creed 1. Like, everything else about Assassin's Creed 1 was always worse. That was probably the best Desmond stuff.
Yeah.
If only because you didn't really know what was happening.
The one thing I did like about the Desmond stuff in this game, I like how when you played as Desmond, there was no HUD.
Yeah, but that also...
Like the HUD was just the Animus, so now that you're not in the Animus, you have to do all this stuff
for
real.
Yeah, but those were always the worst levels, though.
I didn't mind the last one.
I minded the last one the most.
Oh, really?
It was kind of broken.
No, it worked fine for me.
I was, like, chasing that guy, and...
Oh, I caught him, actually.
I didn't catch him. It was really weird.
Oh, no, I had no problem with it.
And, like, they're always really ugly-looking, too, these modern areas. I don't know why, but...
Well, I think they're made by a different team.
Yeah, but I don't know. I guess the Desmond stuff's just not why I'm at the party.
Yeah.
Like, when people were saying the ending was bad, I was like, how do they ruin Connor's story? I'm like, oh, they're not even talking about that. Well, then who cares?
Yeah, well, what did you think of Connor's ending?
I thought it was good. I mean, I find it weird that there wasn't a final kind of fight. Because Assassin's Creed, like, I know that's a cliche, but in Assassin's Creed game, you can do that.
Yeah, well...
You can have a one-on-one sword fight with people.
The fight with Haytham, I think, was really the final fight, and everything else was denouement.
Yeah, I guess you're right. And that
like,
was
I kind of
cool.
Like that, how you and Charles Lee are just completely exhausted. Beat up to the point of death, and you just kind of sit down, You each have a drink. He knows what's going to happen. You know what's going to happen. You stab.
That was kind of cool.
I kind of like that from a storytelling perspective.
Yeah. And I liked those characters a lot. I liked Haytham a lot.
Yeah, Haytham was a great character.
If I have any problem with the game, it might be that my favorite parts of the game were kind of like that big game when you're playing as Haytham. It's because it was cool and
you know, you just
kept wondering what's going
to
happen.
You ready to have your mind blown? What? A lot of people didn't like that part.
Yeah, I read. I know that. I know people are like, oh, this ending.
That was the best part of the game.
This beginning so slow.
I think it's because people wanted to just have the open city and start running around. But I did not mind the directed narrative experience of those first few hours.
Yeah, I loved that.
Because they were so good.
I thought that stuff. I liked that stuff a lot. You're right. That might be my favorite part of the game. Minus the Homestead missions, which we were talking about already.
Mm-hmm.
But no, all in all, I just don't. The ending was certainly not bad enough where I'm like, oh, I feel less about the game now.
No, yeah, no.
I still feel like this game's really being kind of undervalued.
Well,
for as much as it accomplishes.
My biggest issue with the game, I feel like it's almost, what's the word I want here? I don't know, it's really buggy, but not in the sense that I killed that guard and his arm's going through his head, what a funny glitch. I'm talking there were multiple times in missions where I would complete an objective and it just wouldn't register. But I didn't. But it made up a new objective marker. I was like, oh, I guess I go over here now, and just nothing happened. And there's a mission where you and Haytham are gonna break into that brewery, so you have to go steal a guard's uniform.
Yeah.
So
that one was kind of weird for me too.
Well, I loot his uniform, and then this objective marker popped up 600 yards away. I'm like, oh.
No, I had the same problem actually.
Yeah, and I was like, I can't get it was in a building.
I guess that's a lot of open world games you have that. Yeah. In Assassin's Creed 3, I'm not using it as excuses. It is a bit worse than other things. I guess it's just usually I'm more forgiving of these things the more I like the sort of auxiliary things, the little characters in the world and stuff. So whatever. Okay, I think that's it. I'm ready to go. All right.
Okay.
Thanks for listening, everybody. You already heard all the stuff. We'll see you next week.
Bye. Make someone fall in love with you by hitting the up button 7 times that you make them laugh and then give them a wedding ring.
AJ, I got a lot of problems, man. I mean, my wife left me. Nobody loves me. I got this shit job and I don't have any audiobooks.
Well, I can help you out with one of those, Michael. How would you like not only an audiobook, but a free audiobook?
Tell me more.
If you go to audibletrial.com/ebpodcast, not only will you get a free audiobook, but a 1-month free trial to audible.com, where they have thousands of audiobooks available to listen to on your computer, iPod, or Android phone.
Wow, and is some of that revenue going to go to Exploding Barrel?
I sure hope so.
Wow, I feel slightly less like I need to kill myself.